Welcome to a very special episode of Get In My Ears, which you know is a podcast about and with the creators of audio content on GWA. This interview marks the 25th episode of Get In My Ears, and it's also roughly the one-year anniversary of my guests' first GWA submission, so it's an auspicious day. Now, I know I'm not the voice you're normally accustomed to hearing on Get In My Ears, but that is for good reason, because I would like to welcome, not to, but from the Wicked Wardrobe, Wicked Fairy. Hi, Wicked.
Hi. There's going to be lots of laughing, I think, and it's nervous laughter.
That's okay.
Hello.
Welcome.
Hello, Ryan. Hi. Thank you for welcoming me to my wardrobe. It's very cozy in here.
So normally the roles on Get In My Ears are reversed, and I know you a little bit, so I know this probably freaks you out a bit. Are you nervous about answering questions?
Yes, because I think I probably go to that default position of people are tired of hearing me bang on. So I'm just like, oh God, here she goes again. But I am a little bit nervous, which is probably a good thing for me to understand what, when the roles are reversed, what, you know, the people I have a chat with experience, perhaps.
Exactly. It's a little hard therapy for you.
Yeah. Whether you like it or not. it's fun. Thank you. Thank you.
It's my pleasure. There's so many things I'd like to talk to you about, but let's start maybe with the thing I know you hate to talk about the most and just get it over with. Let's talk about you.
Okay.
Take a deep breath, relax. Mm-hmm. How did you find erotic audio?
Nearly 2 years ago, over 2 years ago, I had installed the Calm app to listen to as I was going to sleep, or, you know, for all sorts of reasons, like we do, looking for audio content to calm us, relax us, for meditation, for all sorts of purposes. So I had downloaded that, and I was listening to it as I generally listen as I was going to sleep. And I heard a narration about sort of, I must find it again now, because it really is the impetus for this whole situation. It was, of all people, Harry Styles narrating something like, you know, come walk with me in the rain. And it was very calming and very relaxing, but at a couple of moments there, it was like, oh, I'm sorry, what?
I want to hear that.
So, kind of, yeah. it was quite intimate and, very lovely. And I have always had a bit of a voice kink, but in particular, I get a little bit weak-kneed with a Scottish accent. So I went looking for similar audio content to that was perhaps narrated by someone with a Scottish accent.
Sure.
For me, a male. So I went sort of down a little rabbit hole and came across a website called tryquin.com. I discovered a few others sort of prior to that, but this one was the first of, like, other websites had very, you know, sort of safe for work, relaxation, book narrations, you know, text narration and that sort of thing. I didn't find a lot of Scottish content. I probably wasn't looking in the right places, but yes, came across Tryquin in a search. And at the time, It's not now. At the time, it was a website, and it had all manner of audios, both safe for work and this concept of not safe for work, erotic audio, which I had no concept of whatsoever. And, you know, it's no secret that I am not a 20-something. And in discussions with friends, I listened to a couple, and I thought, oh my. You what? and so sort of over the next few days or week or so, I chatting with my closest friends, I went, do you know there's this stuff on the internet that's kind of naughty, and it's really good. And I said, yeah. At which point, I'm pretty sure I probably said something like, bitch, please,
yeah,
why
really?
Did you not tell me? Because my background is in performing arts, and, you know, we're all, in specifically music. And I just thought, of all the things, of all the people who should have told me. Anyway, it's just nothing. It just never came up. So I listened to a particular audio, which is still I'm not going to say it's my absolute favorite, but it's certainly in my top five or top 10. And it is still available. It's still out there. It's now, TriQuinn is now behind a paywall. It's a subscription app and website. So, that's how I discovered it. I had two sets of earbuds that I was rotating because I could not get enough.
You were mainlining it.
It was a line in. It was just like, while one set was charging, the other set were in. I had, I basically went offline for, a good solid 3 or 4 months and discovered this world. And then through that discovered this thing called Discord and this other thing called Reddit. Just like, what? Oh, my God, what is this? So, yes, the rabbit hole. Mm-hmm. I fell a very long way, and so that's how I discovered erotic audio.
Isn't it interesting how the first things we hear really stick with us? I still remember so clearly some of the first things I heard, like a decade ago, and the quality of the recordings is nowhere near what they can be today. We didn't have that kind of technology, but the ideas have really stuck with me for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. I that particular audio, I don't think I will ever tire of, because it sort of marks a period in my life, a moment in time that was quite, that opened me up to this, and really was the impetus for this sort of renaissance in my own personal life of what is this, and a bit of a rebirth, as Renaissance is, and a little bit of rediscovery. And, I sort of had become an age where I had more time to myself and, was able to establish a little bit more autonomy in my day-to-day. And so I had the time and the means to indulge, and indulge I did.
So... you find erotic audio and you discover something you love, but what made you think, gosh, I could make this stuff and not just listen to it?
I have thought about this, and it's a really interesting question, because I was conflicted for the longest time, having been a music student and then a music educator. I'm very... very particular about, sort of what I put in my ears and quality and, the timbre and cadencing and phrasing and, the whole production of audio. And I never thought I would, or that my voice, the timbre of my voice and my, and everything else that goes behind, creating audio, would appeal to anybody. And that probably stems from, being told as a younger person that you've got quite a deep female voice, and some relatives had said it, kind of jokingly, but not. And I just went, oh, okay. And also sort of stems from, in high school singing male parts for choir and productions, mm-hmm. and being cast in sort of male roles. I was in Bugsy Malone in a high school production, and I was, what is his name? Snake Eyes. Mm. And I just thought, really? I just wanted to be one of Tallulah's girls. That's all I wanted. But really wasn't a good fit. So I understood that. But then, yeah, sort of, I don't know. I also have an issue with performing whilst I studied music. And I actually, the irony is I studied voice. I could never perform because I was just incredibly struck with stage fright and did not want people looking at me whilst I performed. But that was a big part of our, that was a big component of my degree that I studied. And
Right. Somehow
I managed to avoid it. I just kind of camouflaged into the back row of the lecture theatre with my instrument because it wasn't always voice. I also studied flute, and I still cannot get out of that. You know, this one time at band camp, that's kind of my go-to with that. But I managed to avoid performing and for assessment. It was only one-on-one, really. So, yeah, if everybody was to turn around and face the back wall, I probably could have done it then. But, yeah, but even so, you know, the silence would have killed me.
How Jim Morrison performed? Facing the back
yeah,
of the stage.
You know, just like I'm amongst good quality people, right?
Exactly.
I just thought February last year, I'm gonna do it because nobody can see me and nobody, you know. And this at that point, I was sort of, I don't know, 5 or 6, 7 months into the rabbit hole, and just thought, fuck it, why not?
Good for you.
So I did it, and because I'd also, like I said, sort of on a personal level had gone through this sort of reconnecting with my creativity, and so for me it very much was a creative outlet. And also a sexual outlet, because in listening to all the different you know, types of content that are out there, and to be honest, look, that's not true, because I only really listened to one creator for those 5 or 6 months.
Right.
Because I didn't really get into Reddit and wasn't aware of GWA, I was on their Discord server for a very short while. 3 weeks, I just went, this is not for me.
It can get crazy in there.
But still followed. Yeah, beg your pardon?
It can get crazy in there.
Yeah. And I wasn't there to gush or
exactly.
simp or monopolize conversation or anything like that.
Yeah.
The whole sort of parasocial thing was not for me. And I do not need to fast track back to year 9. It just wasn't for me. I get that it's an incredible, it can be an incredible community for a community space for other people. But I didn't need that. What I needed was the content.
Right.
and was able to reach out to that creator and just say, hey, thanks so much. They had a very, with their audios, it was very sort of body positivity focused, and it took me, to a place of better acceptance of myself, and to think that some random on the internet can say a bunch of words and change the way I think and perceive myself to a certain extent. I thought that was quite powerful.
It's amazing.
It wasn't, it certainly wasn't part of my motivation for doing it initially, deciding to record. It really was just like, okay, I'm going to do it. I'm going to put it out there. So I did on the 15th of February, 2021.
So,
and here we are.
You record this audio, which you were kind enough to share to me, so I've heard it. But
oh God,
you have.
Oh.
I know it's the worst. I'm sorry. It's good. It's very good. It's nothing like your current content, though, which is really interesting to me. Like, you've definitely evolved and changed over the last year, but that's fine. That's healthy, I think. But what I wanted to ask you is, you've recorded this thing, and now you have to create a Reddit account and post it. How did you pick your name that you were going to create this account under? What does the name mean to you?
So Wicked Fairy is a long-held sort of moniker that I've had for a large number of years, let's just put it that way, like a very, very long time. And its original source was that I am an avid, some might say obsessive, not so much lately, but fan of female artist Tori Amos, and attended my first concert of hers in, probably going to dox myself now.
Mumble.
1900 and something. I had listened to her for a good long while, and whilst I was at the conservatorium. And and it was in one of her, somebody reviewed her, and that was in a program for that particular concert. And they had called her a Wicked Fairy. I just thought, and it wasn't spelt the way I spell it. I like the sort of the how it's sort of truncated, and I like the I don't know if it's what the etymology is. I think whether it's Gaelic or not, or Celtic, but I like that, and I like the juxtaposition of a little bit of wickedness and a little touch of the fairy, and I think that sort of speaks to me personally, in that, you know, with the content that I create, and also just me as a person, sometimes I get a little wicked and get a little crazy, and as I'm sure, you know, most people do, but that it's not Jekyll and Hyde material, but there is a firmer side to me and a softer side, and I liked that combination together a very long time ago, so it's just stuck. And it made sense to me to bring it into this space. I don't think actually, I don't think I've utilized it really anywhere else socially. So it's not as though people in my real life know that is my username.
So, interestingly, fairy spelled the way you spell it. My first introduction to that spelling of fairy was in the first piece of erotica I ever read as a very young person, the novelist, the fantasy novelist, Raymond Feist, who's primarily known for writing about wizards and soldiers or knights and stuff, wrote one piece of like a supernatural thriller kind of thing called Fairy Tale that I read. It was probably in the 80s that it was published. For me, that name
Ryan
has an erotic like tinge to it right from the first time I hear it.
Right, I did not know that, and that's a bit of a full circle,
right?
moment, yeah. Wow, I love that. Wow. I see other, like, there are a few other fairies, fairy type usernames in the community, and I've not seen one spelt the way I have, although there is a creator whose name I saw the other day for the first time, and I'm gonna shout it out. Is that okay? Can I hang on? Is this my thing? Okay. Yeah, I can say.
It's your podcast.
Is it okay with me? Checking in with myself. Is it okay? We're good. Yeah, it is. Okay, good. Faye West, which I thought was just brilliant.
What a great name.
How good's that? Right. Like, I haven't listened to their content or anything. I just, like, I'm digging the username. I have I love I don't know how people choose their username, or those who don't choose their username and fall into this space and just, like, God damn it.
Yes.
Not looking at anyone in particular.
So many regrets.
No regrets. But yes, I don't see it. I see other fairies out there, but Faye West is probably the closest I've seen to me. I see other Wicked's. I've interviewed, I've had a chat with a previous wicket, which is, you know, it was a whole lot of wickedness up in the wardrobe. It was lovely. But yeah, I'm glad you told me that. I'd be interested to read that text, Ryan, actually.
It's a whole novel, so it's going to be a commitment. Yeah. But yeah, I'll send you a link.
Oh, even just to have a look at the synopsis of it. Yeah. Interesting.
So you have...
Yeah, so that's it.
You said before that the first time you posted your first audio, you deleted the app and didn't look online at all for a couple days.
Mm.
Do you still feel that way, or has that changed for you?
I've certainly evolved in the space in terms of accepting that my voice appeals and what I create and what I share appeals to people. It has changed. Do I listen to myself? Not if I can help it. but I am becoming more accepting of it, because there are moments when I have to listen to myself in terms of sort of editing or working with other people.
Right.
Like these, you know, these have a chats, these getting my ear things.
Right.
I need to listen back to those. It's not as cringeworthy as it used to be, but I think my production level is obviously evolved, and I guess I'm more comfortable, I guess, with more the feedback that I get. It's incredibly humbling. I do think, you know, anybody can do this, because I kind of feel like if I can do it, anybody can do it. But I do believe anybody can. Like, that audio that you listen to, I was going to have a go at listening to it the other day, or a couple of weeks ago when I hit that milestone. I just went, oh, I can't. I just can't.
I completely understand you.
Have you seen that? There's a script out there. Actually, I don't know if it's a script or it was an improv, but, you know, I know it's a script. Where a GWA performer is tortured into listening to their early audios. Yeah.
I haven't, but I love it already.
I think you sound a little evil. Like, you really enjoy that concept. But yeah, I think they might be, whether they're tied to a chair or something, and, you know, the headphones put on them without consent, and they're subjected.
That feels Isn't so that real cool? to me. I'll talk. Just make it stop.
Mm-hmm. I'll give you anything. I'll do anything. Just turn it off. Turn it off. So, yeah, that first one, yes, I did delete the app. I did not go back into it for a couple of days because I was terrified that I'd get that whole, you know, just like, what? What are you even doing? You don't even go here. You know, sort of thing. And also, given that there aren't a lot of Australian accents on GWA, they're just, like, proportionately, there's just not. I know, like any voice, it's not going to appeal to everybody, but I was really quite pleasantly surprised that it did appeal to some people, and they commented and they were very lovely. And, you know, nobody said, you don't even go here. And nobody said, just, oh, my God, just, you know, stop it. It hurts my ears. I didn't get any of that. But, yeah. And it was, so I went and I recorded more stuff. But that actually got me into writing, because I had initially intended to write scripts. I'm not even going to put my name and scriptwriter in the same sentence, but I had thoughts and ideas and scenarios and concepts, and having come from sort of an education background, a decent grasp of grammar and all right. the like, and construction. So I had intended, yeah, purely to write scripts. I began editing for people in the beginning, and as in editing scripts, not editing audio.
Yeah, what a great way
but,
to learn.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, and that was really interesting to me. But I think it probably just scratched my teacher itch more than anything, and it still does to this day. Just to read through something and, yeah, just, I don't know. make it better than what it was when it came to me.
You are more open about what you do on GWA with your, like, real-world friends, family, and acquaintances than anyone I know.
Yeah.
And I think lot of people listening, especially people that are creators, it is hard to even imagine being as open as you are. I mean, to the extent that I'm aware that you have told your accountant what you do, you have told your father what you do.
Yeah.
So I wonder two things. How has being that open freed you? And have there been any negative consequences?
I've always been quite transparent with what I do. And I understand that that's quite fortunate. Had I still been teaching, there's no way I could be as open about what I do. You know, and obviously anything involving whether it's involving minors or whether it's just, you know, it's not safe for work content, if that could have an impact on my career.
Of course.
But I'm not teaching anymore. I feel very fortunate to be able to be open about it. Look, I don't go putting it on my Facebook status. Hey, guess what? Here's a link. But I do, you know, my closest friends know. Some people who are listening may know that I'm a beekeeper. So I have honey customers who come, and I have been a little slower in that sort of with that over the past few months, and thankfully the weather has been, you know, hasn't been conducive to a lot of honey coming in. So but when I do, you know, when I have sort of had customers come, I said, oh yeah, how you been? Oh yeah, I'm good, what are you doing? Well, I said, because I haven't seen you for a long time, and you know, I haven't seen you haven't posted much about your honey. And I said, oh, you know, the weather, whatever, you know, not a lot of nectar around, but I'm, you know, I'm doing some other stuff that yeah, I'm really enjoying. What are you doing? Well, and look, I've got to gauge the person, you know, I'm not going to tell. It's circumstantial, but most of the time, yeah, I have no qualms in sharing it. I had to tell my accountant because I've, you know, not long sort of monitor. Well, actually, it is long. It's coming up to a year. I've been paid for content, so yeah, had to let my accountant know. I kind of get a bit of a kick out of it, I'm not going to lie, you know, especially with my girlfriends who I haven't seen for a while, you know, pandemic, COVID lockdown. I have, you know, recently I caught up with one, I think I said this in a chat just recently, that I caught up with someone I hadn't seen for nearly 9 months. And I said, like, hi, how are you? We sat down and we had lunch. And I said, so what are you doing? I went, well, you know, they knew I'd been listening, you know, sort of the previous year.
Right.
And I said, well, you know that thing? Well, I'm doing it now. and one of them, you know, this one in particular, she said, oh, can you send me a link? I was like, yeah, sure. You know, just beware. You know, it's me. Well, it's kind of not me. It's, you know, this profile, this persona. And I am very pleased to say that 3 days later, that particular friend bought herself a particular toy that I had referenced in a particular audio that she had listened to. And I was like, I was high five in the air.
Nice.
Just like, I was like, yes, yes, Larvence, yes, toy makers, yes, you know. So, you know, that's just a positive. I feel fortunate. And because I remember back to that first conversation I had with my very best friend. What do you know about this stuff? And she's like, yeah. She's like, what do you tell me? So that's part of my drive as well. Well, what if that person is perhaps seeking comfort or may get something out of it? Do you know what I mean? I'm a little bit, you know, share the love. I'm very happy to be an advocate for the space.
Well, I wanted to talk to you about that a little bit, actually. You, from my perspective anyway, you put a lot of time, a lot of your personal time into non-audio production elements of the community, like your you're curating spaces and partnerships for others, and you're supporting other VAs and writers and editors, and you're engaging with listeners. Can you just tell us a little bit about the different kinds of spaces you're managing?
Yes. I made a commitment not too long ago to do this on pretty much an almost full-time basis. I'm fortunate that I have the means and the energy and the time to do that. I think part of me, you know, being of an age where I have regained some autonomy in my life, I have been looking for something. And, you know, as much as I love beekeeping, it's pretty solitary. You know, it's me and, you know, like 50,000 bees at a time. Yeah. And those mofos don't talk back. They just sting you. So that's not fun.
No.
So I wanted some different interaction.
Little did you know how ornery the listeners of GWA could be.
Just like beehive, just got nothing, not nothing on the community. I joined a server, and I think a shout out went out for somebody to collaborate. And at the time, I was maybe sort of 3 or 4 months in, I hadn't really had much to do with other creators, other VAs in particular. I had formed, you know, connections with editors and a couple of writers, and that was great. But in terms of other VAs, not so much. You know, I'd reached out to a few and just said, hey, gosh, love your work. It's, wow, that's, you know, really impressed. Thank you for sharing. And, you know, made some sort of personal connections in that way, but not in a creative way. So, yeah, did a couple of collaborations, which kind of snowballed and led to, it was probably September last year that I did one. My first live record, and that was with Miss Wendy, who opened my eyes to a whole different space. And in that, I found an immense amount of support from her as a fellow creator and as a female creator as well, in this space, and I sort of got to think, she's like, well, how can I contribute to this? Not long before then, I'd always struggled with the lack of recognition that script writers in particular get, because the bulk of my work is script fills.
Right.
Actually, I'd say 99% of it is. And I just, there was, I don't know, it just wasn't equal for me. And I struggled with it. So I created an audio, I don't know, maybe 5 or 6 months ago. Just thanking the script writers of erotic and non-erotic audio, and it really was my, I don't know, love letter, for want of a better term, to the script writers, because having written my own sort of content, I understand what goes into it and how labor intensive it is,
right?
And I feel like as a VA, well, for me personally, I just speak the words, you know. There is that symbiotic relationship there. I understand that, you know, one at some point doesn't work without the other. That's aside from VAs who improv, oh my god, amazing, or create their you know, or only do original content. So I put that out, and I had a few script writers reach out to me about that, following that. And it wasn't in an effort to form connections or...
No, of course not.
I wasn't searching for anything. It really was just say, hey, thanks, man. That's like, I love your shit, and I love speaking it. And I just, and, you know, I get a lot of great feedback, but I, you know, I wish that you were acknowledged as much as, you know, I am. It just seemed quite unbalanced. So, yeah, from there, I just started thinking. I started doing more collaborations, and that first live recording, live collab, was opened my eyes up to the possibility of connecting with more creators. Because prior to that, I'd only done collabs where we'd independently recorded our lines and sent them into an editor. And somehow by, you know, editing wizardry, they put it all together. So, yeah, the live collab, that whole live collab was, yeah, really the starting point for me to want to expand this space and get to know more people. But also I...
Mm-hmm.
Given what's gone on in the space socially, on other social platforms, I'm talking about Twitter and on Discord servers, primarily, there's been a lot of negative sort of, you know, goings on, shenanigans, whatever you want to refer to it. I keep a very low profile regarding any of that. Because I'm not here for that, and I know that people aren't willingly here for that. I don't know, maybe some people are. I don't know. It doesn't matter. It's not for me to engage in. I just want to moan into a mic. So doing that, I wanted to, and this was kind of the impetus for starting Get In My Ears, was I wanted to highlight and go behind the mic and behind the editing desk and, you know, behind the Mac or wherever scriptwriters write, to profile creators and their process and their motivation, and that was also to introduce the community to, you know, the people behind the usernames,
right?
But also to let those who purely listen and consume and don't necessarily contribute, to give them some sort of insight in that we are all just regular people, right? But there is a very big, there's an imbalance in power. And again, I struggle with that. So starting this, I was hoping to bring to the forefront that, yeah, we're all just regular folks. Some of us moderate, some of us write, some of us edit, some of us moan into the mic, some of us upvote, some of us, you know, subscribe to, you know, behind paywall content. We're all in this community. But at the same time, we're all regular folks. So I wanted to bring a positive aspect to it. So that's really what Get In My Ears was about. And in doing that, it led to the development of a collaborative server, a collaborative Discord server, and a new space.
Which has been amazing for me. I mean, I think one of the things you mentioned earlier about your first experiences doing live collab is the fact that you had support that was female support. You pointed to that specifically.
Yes.
And, you know, it's not something I thought a lot about before, but almost all of my interaction through Reddit when I started was with women. I mean, it's not surprising when you reflect back on it, but one of the great things about the community that you're fostering is the opportunity I'm having to form bonds with and engage with men who are doing, you know, work in this erotic space, which is not, for me anyway, a common experience, but has been a really eye-opening, supportive, and a learning experience.
Oh, wow. Wow. That's, that's sort of the best I could ever sort of wish for, that people would come into the space, you know, this collaborative space, and network with other people and get to know other people and form connections and have resources presented to them. And I think as a community of creators, we have such a vast wealth of knowledge and experience amongst us. So, you know, for those who are willing, who want to share that or who want to collaborate, then I thought it was quite lacking. And look, I know there are other Discord servers out, the creator Discord servers out there. The point of difference with what I set up, and really you've got to know that I was throwing my hand up left, right and centre to collab with everybody and anybody because I loved the process so much, and it was just made so much easier by the live concept, or the live method. and so much more immersive and organic. And yeah, and oh, I don't know, it just made complete sense. So in doing it, I had, I don't know, maybe at one point 12 different group chats with different project titles on them in my Discord profile. I was like, oh my God, yeah. I don't know which one's coming and going and who's doing that. And oh, hang on, I need the lines, you know, all that sort of stuff, the management of it. And I need to be organized. I know that's a fairly common trait amongst the creators in this space, it would seem. Organization kind of floats my boat. I am a spreadsheet queen. I know I'm not alone in that.
No.
But I thought, okay, how can I create or pull together a space that is for networking, for other creators to, you know, sort of drop in and go, hey, I want to do a collab. Let's, you know, but I need, you know, I need two male voices and an editor, or I need, you know, someone to sort of fine tune or flip this script for me, or, you know, but also a space for editors to come in and say, well, look, you know, I'm using this DAW, or I'm using or a script writer to say, she's like, oh God, I don't know what to do about this, I need a prompt for this. So really just a networking space, but a working space. It is sociable. Goodness me, it's sociable. I think the point of difference with it and other creator services that are out there, you know, we don't run movie nights. We don't do Jackbox games. We don't, have Spotify, although debating that. It really is a creative space.
Just for that.
Not entirely a social space. Right. And that's not to say it won't evolve and change, or that any other server who does all of that is anything different or any worse off or better than. That was just my vision for creating this. And that was really prompted by God Bless Her, Tina and the Horsemen, because after my very first chat with Bruised Shins back in December, our discussion about there being, at the time, a lack of male collaborations.
Right.
And then that script coming out sort of 5 days later, and I fast tracked that sucker. I was like, that's got to happen. I got to happen. And thankfully, I had connections. I had enough connections to sort of reach out to a few people and say, hey, you want to do this? Do you want to get on board in this? What do you reckon about this? So, and that really does sort of go back to my teaching background as well in organization and producing, and as a music teacher as well, producing, you know, doing, being, directing productions at a high school level with many moving parts. So I had the connections. I had the time, the energy, I had the resources, so it just kind of made sense to put it all in one space and create a network in there, but a hub almost for people to come to and keep their projects in one set space as well. So
can I just say
it seems to be running,
you know, maybe it won't even make it to the podcast, but producer is not a role that is recognized on GWA, but it is 100% a thing, right? So it doesn't come along that often, because 90% of the content is solo and the collab content is usually managed by one of the partners. But there is, I think, a place for produced content where a third party, whether they're the editor or not, you know, organizes the participants and finds the script and does the whole production element. And I think, like, when I think about where GWA might go next, like, I think it's there. I think it's getting more and more sophisticated. I mean, GWA is always going to be amateur, but I think that there's more and more sophisticated stuff coming along, which I love.
Yeah. I think it might have been, was it in our chat that we had a chat about, that we talked about there's definitely a pro-am circuit.
Right.
Within GWA. And you said it. It was you, wasn't it? I know it was you. It wasn't me that came up with that term, but I just thought that's a brilliant way to describe it. You know, we go the full gamut from those who moan into their phones in their cars through to, you know, those who have, you know, purpose-built sound booths with, you know, multiple mics and what have you, all of the equipment. So I just saw a need. And it, like, I've changed my byline to, you know, it is not entirely altruistic, because I needed to hear that script come to life.
Right.
So I did everything I could to make it happen. And somehow, I don't know, it did within, I pulled that together on, I think the script went out on the Monday. I was in talks with people on the Tuesday and the Wednesday. God, that sounds official, doesn't it? I was in talks. No, I was trying to coerce people is what I was doing.
You had their people call your people.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. Yeah. And by the Friday, we were live recording.
Crazy.
And I say we because I had to sit in for one of them because they weren't able to.
Ah, so you did that.
And oh my God, that was a whole nother experience as well. But yeah, I mean, it could have been, given the scope of that particular production, it could have been, you know, then we started talking about artwork and, you know, delivery times and, you know, just rollouts and all that sort of thing. As it was, I think it was about 3 weeks later that it all got posted. Such an epic
yeah,
amount of production
epic.
Went into it. But the whole thing, I was really quietly sort of proud of, in a way, to see these four, five artists, in a way, create something.
Right.
And if I was able to pull the strings and make it, you know, make it a little bit easier and make the process smoother, then, yeah, I was all for it. So.
I always say, so weird, GWA is like halfway between Let's Get It On and Let's Put On a Show. And it's this weird combination of like the theater nerd in all of us and the insatiable slut in all of us. So it's such a funny space,
true.
But I love it. I love it.
Yeah. Yeah, very much so. Very much. Well, I agree with you that the role of producer is something that, I'm excited to see where that goes. I love, I would joke around in our group chats and say, okay, so I'm putting my producer hat on right now. I need your lines by, or I need your socials detailed by. And so then drafted. And that's the other thing. It's drafting these collabs.
Right.
That is actually, that's quite a
intensive.
Detailed process.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Horseman one, that took me some time because I wanted to create profiles for each of them, and obviously I did that together with Tina, the script writer for that one. And yeah, it's kind of evolved since then. We did a Little Miss Jazz, you know, 6-part production, Choose Your Own Adventure, the Hallmark. Well, I think it was like the GWA Hallmark Christmas Channel or something.
All right.
That, you know, I pulled together, there were the six of us on six different channels and six independent audios. And yeah, that was, you know, that was received really well. And I got a real kick out of just organizing it and just pushing that boat out once it gets posted and seeing the response to it. So, yeah, I do thoroughly enjoy it.
I got as much joy out of the audio that, if we can call it produced, I produced for you and Pirate as I did anything I've ever made myself.
Aww.
I enjoyed it so much more. Maybe part of it is that editing and not having to hear my own voice is so much better than editing my own voice. But also seeing the response and how much people loved it, because I loved that script so much. It was just perfectly written. I really admired the writing, and the performances were incredible, obviously.
Mm.
But yeah, I love the producer role. I hope that we'll see more of it going forward on GWA.
Yeah, I think it's something that I've kind of fallen into quite easily. And I am not oblivious to the fact that, you know, some people may not want to work with me and my style of production. But, you know, for those who do, come on down.
No one's
obligated. I'm here. Yeah, exactly. And actually on the server, it's something that the other mods and I have just, you know, sort of had a chat about last week, is like, how do we further evolve and refine this collaborative process? Because, you know, every now and then sort of kinks happen and it's always evolving. Nothing is set in stone. But in terms of guidelines and how to make this process smoother and more efficient is the other thing, because, you know, I get that not everybody can record whenever they want to.
That's my big problem.
People have very real world limitations, and I think also at the end of the day we need to recognize that this is, and remember, not recognize, but remember that it's free audio porn, people. You know,
I always offer free refunds. We're not literally going for an award. Anyone who doesn't like it, it's 100% refund, no questions asked.
Oh, I love that. I love that. Here's your free refund. Yes. Oh, I love it. Here's your refund for your free audio porn. Yeah. Oh, my, that's brilliant. That's I'm going to use that. That's so good. Look, I don't get many complaints, but yeah, I'm going to keep that one up my sleeve.
So talking again real quick about Get In My Ears, where I totally sidetracked you. This is your 25th episode. You have been for a GWA podcast. You've been prolific, which is awesome. I've learned so much listening to them. Aside from other people you're dreaming of or thinking of or scheming to talk to, is there anything else you want to do with the format that you haven't done yet?
I have been thinking about that, because I think sort of back in the beginning I was like, well, this is series one and series two will be. I get lots of requests. I've only just recently set up the Get In My Ears subreddit. Previously, it's all been on my own personal page. But I have had a lot of requests for specific people, but also in that I've had requests for specific questions of those people. And some of those questions have been personal. And my focus with this, dare I call it, series, has been... about the creator, not about the person as much, or the person behind the creative process and the motivation. That's really been what I've wanted to know. And I'd like to sort of keep it there, because not everybody can divulge their, or wishes to disclose their personal information. Sort of akin to the backstage questionnaires that get posted, and, you know, not everybody fills those out, but I still find them quite those who do, I find them fascinating to read. So in terms of this moving forward, this particular format, it can be, I don't know whether that's opening up a can of worms, but discussing the dynamics between creators and consumers, I think, is a very interesting conversation. And it is something that sort of pops up from time to time in the chats that I have. But it's not... In the beginning, I was asking creators about, you know, how they handle that. But just given that it has been problematic over the past going on... I know we're just over a year, probably the last sort of 15 months... It has been problematic. I don't know if it's a bit of a hot button topic, though. Do you know what I mean? And I don't have the. I'm not sure how that could be addressed in a non-biased way. But I think it's a very relevant conversation.
For real.
Whether it's one for public consumption, because everybody has their opinion, right?
Right.
And everybody has, obviously, which we're all entitled to. I think it's a very interesting concept, but I just don't know if I have the wherewithal, and I'm not a professional in this space.
Right.
You know, I'm not,
nobody is.
I don't have professional qualifications in terms of, you know, sociology and in interpersonal skills or anything like that. And this is where it comes down to, this is all free,
right?
Essentially. It's available publicly. It's free. There's, you know, aside from those who subscribe to, whether it be Patreon or wherever, Subscribestar, OnlyFans, whatever. What's the problems that have arisen seem to be primarily behind private or paywall situations. And I shouldn't say just that, but I am conscious of the fact that, I don't have the skill or the knowledge or the experience to moderate that in this sort of public format.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it's a lot to take
but
on.
But it's very valid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot to know and to talk about. I mean, you know me, I'm super cautious anyway I don't have my own paid spaces either. But, you know, even being super cautious, I get into weird situations. I have people disclosing their medical conditions. I have people talking about their partners and interpersonal relationships in real life. And, you know, I have very little to offer, you know, little to offer isn't the right way to put it, but like I'm not qualified to really care for my listeners in the way that they necessarily want to be cared for. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do know what you mean. I'm very conscious of my interactions with listeners and ensuring that they realize that I am a creator. And Wicked Fairy is somewhat of a character.
Mm-hmm.
It's very much a part of me, but it's not entirely me.
Right.
And I play a character in script fills. And even if they weren't script fills, if it was original content, I'm creating a scene. This is fantasy. However, much of it is my own personal fantasy is really sort of quite irrelevant. I'm not equipped to take on the well-being of my listeners. I get what you're saying. I have an awful lot of personal information disclosed to me, but I always sort of mediate that with I don't have the capacity to do that, and I feel awful sometimes because these people are, you know, they're taking a risk and they're really reaching out.
Mm-hmm.
But then, part of me also thinks, it's an awful way to think, but think, you know, maybe they're messaging this to 40 different VAs
that is also
and just waiting
possible.
For one to respond. Do you know what I mean? Which makes me kind of sad. But if there's a real need to reach out to somebody, then yeah, unfortunately, I'm not it. I'm not equipped, nor do I have the capacity to respond to that in a way that could be beneficial. If anything, it would take me down as well, I think, or has that potential.
It's a huge burden.
So, and having that, and that's why I think, you know, sort of establishing boundaries and limits and sticking to them is so incredibly vital. I kind of joke about I get messages quite regularly. She's like, will you be my mummy? And my immediate response is, I'm a little bit of a shit about it. I'm pretty sure you've got one or you had one at some point and I'm not it. And I'm not that sort of facetious in my response. I was like, oh, no, darling, that's what my audios are for.
Right. Okay.
But that's kind of what I'm thinking. It's like, I don't know. Because they obviously need. But with the content that I choose to record, that's my way of caring, of sharing, of supporting, of providing, whether it be 3 minutes or, you know, 33 minutes or, God, I just did one yesterday, it was 44 minutes. I was exhausted by the end of it, but I loved it. But even, you know, regardless of how long it is, I always harp on about, you know, that whether you form a connection, you get a sense of connection with me or with Wicked Fairy or with a sense of comfort or a sense of care. If any of what I create and share has, you know, creates that for a listener, then that's a win-win because I'm creating it for me as well. There's very, like I said, not entirely altruistic. It's an outlet for me. There are things that I want to explore. There are things that I want to do. So the whole mummy-dom thing, I have an inherent need to nurture. It just is, you know, and create a place of warmth and comfort just personally. And that's for me. That makes me feel good, you know. So
yeah.
I think that's probably why I've fallen into that mummy-dom or MILF, you know, older woman, younger man dynamic. It's it appeals to me greatly on a personal level. So that's why I continue to create that sort of content.
Okay, Wicked. I've kept you so long. but there's three more things really quick, if possible.
Sure.
The first is there anything you wish people knew about you but you don't think they know?
I think I'm fairly comfortable with everything that I've disclosed. It's something that hasn't come up for a long time, but people used to, you know, there are creators who are very open in sharing themselves publicly and revealing themselves on sort of physically, photos, images, whatever. That is not something that I want to do, I guess partly for privacy, but also because I want who you listen to be whoever you want to imagine. I know I want to be a blank slate. I want to, I mean, there are a couple of things that I have disclosed and I have posted, but essentially people, I won't reveal that. So,
right.
And that's the reason why I think that sort of gets lost every now and then, that it's not entirely about privacy. It's about, you know, giving that person, using their imagination, because we all know visual porn is, you know, it's kind of at us. Audio porn is, it's that delicious mind fuck, for want of a better term, on so many different levels. That's what I would want to maintain. I want to maintain that. And I guess things about me, I'm really sort of comfortable with where things are at the moment.
Awesome. I started out by commenting on the fact that I knew this was going to be painful for you, that I know you a little bit, and I know you don't love talking about yourself. So, second to last question, how has it been? Has it been as awful as you thought it was going to be?
I didn't think it was going to be awful. I just, I'm very conscious of, I don't know, look, it's second nature to self-deprecate, and sort of make a joke about it. And I know a lot of us do that. And somebody, a really dear friend, just sort of pointed out recently that why they do it is for why they contribute is for validation, but it's not for attention.
Right.
And I think that is something that I've thought about that since having that discussion with them. And I was like, there is a very marked difference in that. So I don't like being the center of attention. I do, however, very much appreciate the validation for what I'm doing and the acknowledgement that what I'm sharing has been of benefit for people, whether it be in audios or producing or supporting or, you know, any of that, editing, anything that I do. So, I really have taken that on board and just thought, okay, this has been okay, and I have accepted that this, perhaps people may be interested in knowing about my process and my motivation.
So last thing, it's been a year. A crazy GWA year for you. What's next? What's next?
So I know you mentioned before platforms. I recently started a Patreon. I have opened up a Discord server for members of the Patreon. So that's kind of exciting. And again, I am the name above the door. I do not want to be put on a pedestal even when I enter the chat. So I'm learning that. I'm learning to sort of be comfortable in that space and allowing that community to grow and develop. And I love watching it. So I'm keen to see that going forward. I've just recently started a YouTube channel called Fairy Tales, which I know you're aware of, and the fact that your first erotic piece was called Fairy Tale, was it called?
The first piece of erotica I read was called Fairy Tales, I think with an S. It's been decades.
And that's the name of my YouTube channel.
Fairy Tale, T-A-L-E, sorry.
Okay, so mine is, yeah, Fairy Tales with an S. But that's just too uncanny for me. And right. The fact that you were the very first guest creator on that space, there's some wickedness going on, right?
Right.
There is a greater being in the erotic audio and non-erotic audio space. But yeah, so I'm excited to see that further develop. And, I love a narrative. I think so many of us as VAs love a narrative. Unfortunately, they don't get the love or, you know, if you subscribe to them, the upvotes or the exposure that that other genres do in this space. So I wanted to create something that was did give VAs. And look, it's very early days, but everything's early days at some point, right? Plant that little seed. And yeah, I'm excited for that to see where that's going. So as far as, you know, the server's pretty much running itself. God, I love it. I love checking in on there. Sometimes I'm just like, oh my God, you bunch of horny, depraved creatures. I love you. so I love the collaborative space. I'm really enjoying the production side of things. I am, slowly building my little Patreon. I am creating for 1, 2, 3 different websites. So that's exciting, original content.
Amazing.
For them, I also do sort of custom audios as well. So that's the bulk of what I do. I've really sort of pulled back on Reddit to focus on Patreon and now to focus on Fairy Tales, the YouTube channel. So I posted a chapter of a favourite book of mine and it seemed to be, for me it's more the creative outlet of that.
Right.
And perhaps being exposed to people who haven't heard the dulcet tones of my voice.
Mellifluous.
However deep or mellifluous it may. And that's very kind of you to say that. I love that term. So, yeah, that's kind of where I'm at the moment. And I am excited to have committed to this space on a pretty much a full-time basis.
That's amazing.
And to have the opportunity to do so. Yeah.
So I said before we hit record that this was about you and not about me.
Mm.
But if I could just say one thing at the end here. One of the best things for me in this whole insane, to me, GWA experience has been getting to know you. I've really enjoyed hearing your thought process, both today, but also through the last 24, get in my ears. It's been really eye-opening and gives me a sense that some of the things I've experienced or felt, the conflicts I felt about what I'm doing, the enjoyment I get out of it, the things that make me feel weird, they're not just me, like they're common things that other people get to. It has been really great to hear about. So I love this series. Oh. I'm really flattered that you let me be your first guest host. It's going on my CV. I don't fuck it. Everyone's going to know about it.
It's like that. Remember that first time you hosted SNL? Remember?
I don't have honey customers, but if I did, I'd tell them all about it.
Oh, thank you, Ryan. This has been a very generous thing for you to do. Yes, despite my level of initial discomfort, I was quite excited when I woke up this morning. I said, excited and, quite a little terrified, I'm not going to lie. But it's been really, really very lovely to have a chat with you and begin to embrace the whole idea that it is not about attention. That there is a certain amount of it about validation and acceptance.
Beautiful.
And acknowledgement from my peers is, kind of what I strive for.
Mm-hmm.
So, thank you very much for having me today in the Wicked Wardrobe. It's been very lovely to have you in my ears with the roles reversed.
Me too.
Thanks so much, Ryan.
And to you. Bye.